Off the Ball, GAA.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit frustrating that we don't get to play the new rules in Sigerson as well, just to really see how we could flow from one game to another without thinking about it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
All right, it's 7:30 on a Thursday, so it's time to talk to John Giles. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
You're keeping well?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good.
Still going, anyway.
You weren't online last week, anyways, because the Liverpool supporters, they were exercised, I think it's fair to say, by your selection. There was a lot of talk about Alexander-Arnold. Maybe he should have been in at right back. But I think there was a general enough agreement. These are tough decisions that need to be made. But you've brought more trouble upon yourself. You're going to pick your all-time Manchester United 11 this evening.
Yeah. Can I just say from last week with Alexander, I think he's a terrific player, Nathan. And maybe in 4 or 5 years' time, then I could make a different decision on him. But same again tonight. I mean, I picked the Manchester United team and have had loads of great players. But again, the team, in whether it be, you know, 4 or 5 years' time, if you ask me again, again if I'm alive, that they could be different. But that's the way it is. That's what the team I'm picking is the team that is there at the moment, or the past team that I pick at the moment.
And you can only pick 11 of them. And there's many great players for Manchester United. And this is since 1960, so the likes of Liam Whelan and Duncan Edwards weren't in the mix for this.
No. No, I think it's only so far we go back. I'd say back to, I'd say as a rule, say 1965.
Yeah. All right, let's get started. In goals.
Yeah. In goal, I've gone for Peter Schmeichel.
Was that a straightforward decision?
Yes, I think he's been a brilliant goalkeeper. He was there when they were winning all the trophies, Nathan. I think he's been the best and probably one of the best ever. Mm. I think he was a real presence. And I mean, looking back on him, I remember him saving Manchester United time after time. You know, a goalkeeper like that was priceless for them, for anybody at any time.
It's hard to think of a goalkeeper, even looking at the current goalkeepers, who was just such a totemic figure. Like, he was just built like an absolute tank. I'd imagine for any player, and he was so good at them, approaching Peter Schmeichel on a one-on-one, he'd scare the living daylights out of you.
Oh, definitely. He was a big presence and plenty of confidence in himself. I think he had lots of clashes with Roy Keane, from what I can gather, in those particular years. Nathan, he wouldn't. I don't think he certainly had a mind of his own, and was a great presence in the goalkeeper, as a goalkeeper for them.
Like, David De Gea has obviously come in and very much the main man at the moment. You look at that 68 team, where I guess a lot of this will come from, that won the European Cup. Alex Stepney, would you have either of them close to Schmeichel?
Well, the present goalkeeper, I think, is very, very good, Nathan. But I think the last 12 months, I haven't seen Schmeichel make as many mistakes in his whole career at Manchester United as the present goalkeeper.
Yeah. So, Peter Schmeichel in goal.
He's been player of the year for 3 years on the bounce there, quite rightly too. He was terrific. But in the last 12 months or so, he hasn't been himself. He's made a lot of mistakes.
So, looking at the back four then, right back?
Right back, I've gone for Dennis Irwin.
You probably could have gone for Dennis Irwin at right back or left back.
Yeah, well, that's how good he was. I mean, he was playing at left back, which I think right side was his best, because he was naturally right-footed. Because Neville was playing at right back, and he could do the job at left back as good as anybody else. I think Dennis was a terrific player, and obviously playing with the amount of stars that were in the team at that time, I don't think he ever got the credit that he deserved. Well, fullbacks don't. When you got the great players that Manchester United had at that particular time. But Dennis was a cool customer. I never saw him flapping or getting too excited. Got the job done. He moved to left back, as you say, Nathan, and was just as good there, although he is right-footed. But his positional sense was very good, so he could get it onto his right foot most of the time. But he was quick, deceptively quick, in my opinion. Mm. But all the big games I saw him in, I never saw him flustered in any of the games. Got about his job quietly and efficiently all the time. Never made any fuss.
Yeah, I don't think there were two similar players, but I'm thinking back to our conversation a couple of weeks ago about Paul Madeley, that you need a certain type of character within all great squads who just go about their business the right way and do their job 7-8 out of 10 every single week.
Yeah, that was Dennis. You know, you weighed him up well there, Nathan. That's the way he was. There was no fuss or bother about him. I don't think he ever sought the limelight. He just got on with the job, win the ball. That's what defenders are supposed to do. Win the ball and give it to somebody in front of them, Nathan. And that's what he did. I've seen fullbacks or defenders sometimes, when they get on the ball, they think, well, I have to do a bit clever on the ball like that, you know? And where defenders usually get the ball and give it to the players. But like when I was at Leeds, Don Revie used to say to Norman Hunter, when you win the ball, give it to the players that can play. Well, Norman could play, you know, but that was the principle. Get it, give it to the forwards, give it to people in front of you. And that's what Dennis did. He never looked for the limelight. Just got on with the job. I thought he was a terrific player, great temperament.
Left back,
I've got Tony Dunn.
Two Irish players on the two fullback positions.
Yeah. And a lot of people, like Tony's going back to my time, so a lot of people wouldn't remember Tony. But Tony was very similar in temperament to Dennis Irwin. Did the job quietly, but terrific. Very quick, Nathan. He played the Manchester United's great years. He was in the Manchester United team when they won the league in 1964. And
played again later, Cup final.
The two times that they won at that particular time, and then in the Champions League, or what was then the European Cup, at that particular time, and again a bit like Dennis, very quyet. He played with great players like Law Best and Charlton. Didn't try to seek the limelight in any way, but really got the job done. Very like Dennis, deceptively quick. Used the ball well. No fuss about him. And it wasn't a big lad, but good in the air. Like Dennis, Dennis was good in the air as well. But, you know, complete player. No, I never saw anybody give Tony Dunn the runaround.
You were already at Manchester United when he arrived over to England.
Yeah.
Was he somebody who you could tell straight away was going to make it at the top level?
Well, funny enough, I played against Tony under 15.
Right.
Schoolboy football. And he didn't get in the schoolboy international team.
Right.
Nathan.
So what, you were home farm, he was Stella Maris?
No, he played for Finbar, St. Finbar's. I was Stella Maris at that particular time. But Tony, he became one of the great players, but at number 50, when he was only under 15, you'd never believe that he could progress like he did. He didn't come to England until he was 18, 19. He actually played for Shelbourne a few years in the League of Ireland. Dennis. Then he came to Old Trafford, but took to it straight away. You know, he's only at Old Trafford a few months before he got in the team and never went out of it. But again, he was playing with Law Best Charlton. All these guys were getting the headlines. But Tony got on with the job and was certainly, I think he was the best left-back in England for 10 years.
So two Irish players in the two full-back positions. What about your two centre-halves?
I've gone for it. Yep, Stan.
Yeah.
Nemanja Vidic. I don't know whether I'm presenting his release for us. Vidic, centre back. I thought the two of those were terrific players for them. Very solid. Again, got on with the job. Really, really good defenders.
Mm. No Rio Ferdinand?
No, I thought Vidic, when they played together, I thought Vidic was the main man.
Mm.
Vidic was the man that went for all the headers, and Ferdinand was a very good player and good on the ball, but he was sweeping up, Nathan. You know, he was sweeping up. But Vidic, in my opinion, was doing the more difficult job and the more important job. And if you look at the record for corner kicks, Vidic scored an awful lot of goals from corner kicks for Manchester United. Rio Ferdinand hardly ever scored with a header from corner kicks. So they were different. I think Rio Ferdinand would catch your eye more than Vidic. But I thought Vidic was more effective than Rio Ferdinand.
Stam only had three seasons at Manchester United. Won the title in each of the three seasons. Won the Champions League in his first year at the club. Obviously enough to make a big, big impression. I know we're not picking this team that they would ever play together. But could Vidic and Stam play together? Or were they very similar type of players?
Oh, yeah. But they were both reasonably good on the ball, but they were real centre-halves. I think when you see a centre-half or a defender, you know, they're going to win it. Are they aggressive? Are they going to do the things that you want them to do? And in Vidic's case, was a bonus because he could score from corner kicks and free kicks. He was very good. He's a very good record on it. Stam was a very, very solid defender. You know, you want defenders to defend. I mean, I think Ferguson said himself that he made a mistake letting him go.
Yeah.
At that particular time. And Ferguson didn't make many mistakes. But I'd always go for the lads that could defend in that particular position. And both of them could play a bit, Nathan. They weren't bad on the ball, you know. They weren't hopeless on the ball, actually. The control was quite good. So I would definitely go for those two.
We need to take a quick break. I don't think we've even got to the controversial selections just yet, John. We're going through Manchester United's all-time 11. And we'll bring you through the midfielders and the attackers right after this.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. The greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
Hey, welcome back. It's Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you this evening. We are talking to John Giles about his all-time Manchester United 11. You can get your thoughts in to 53106. We've gone through the defence. Already, we've got Peter Schmeichel in goals, Dennis Irwin and Tony Dunne, the two fullbacks, all Irish fullback pairing, and Nemanja Vidic and Jaap Stam in the centre of defence. Let's move on to the midfielders, John. And I don't envy you with this because, like, off the top of my head, you're talking Bobby Charlton, Nobby Stiles, Brian Robson, Roy Keane, Beckham, Giggs, Scholes. There's no shortage of options in this one. Who have you gone with?
I've gone with Paul Scholes, Roy Keane. And Bobby Charlton.
No Ryan Giggs.
No. Sorry to say. I've got a list of players, two players in particular that I would love to have got in the team. One was Brian Robson. And the other one was Wayne Rooney. Giggs is not in it. Beckham's not on it. All these terrific players. I just read them out, the lads that need mention. Beckham, Cantona, Giggs, Pallister, Bruce, Ferdinand, Hughes, Evra, Van Nistelrooy, Strachan, Dwight York, Andy Cole, but particularly Wayne Rooney and Brian Robson. And maybe probably particularly even more Brian Robson. I think Brian was there in the Atkinson time more than the Ferguson time when they were really winning the big trophies. But I played with Brian Robson at West Brom, and I hate leaving him out of the team. I hate leaving Rooney out of the team, but I have to go with the ones that are there.
Well, it's hard to pick one of the other three to leave out as well. So
yeah.
What was it about those three that separated them from the players you had to leave out?
Well, I think Scholes was the best midfield player, real midfield player of his time. And I think it was a shame that he didn't play more for England because, you know, they had Gerrard in there and Lampard in there, who neither of them could do what Scholes could do. Scholes was definitely the player that linked back to front, scored his fair share of goals, but distributed the ball brilliantly. I thought he was a terrific player. Keane, well, you know, we all know about Keane. Keane was the driver in that particular team, took no nonsense from anybody, well, apart from Cantona when he played there, in my opinion. But Keane was the driving force, never satisfied with what the team was, how well they were doing or he himself was doing. And that's what the great players do. They're never satisfied with what they do. And Keane did that in a spectacular way. And then we come to Bobby Charlton. Well, I think I've said to you before, Nathan, Bobby Charlton was the best player I ever played with, and he was the best player I ever played against. He was absolutely brilliant. Could do it on his own, didn't need me. I played with him in the middle of the midfield, didn't need me. I'd be in a good position, and I think I was going to get it, wouldn't get it. And just when you're about to say, oh, for flip's sake, Bobby, he's gone past three or four players, and he's threatening the goal with either foot, Nathan, from 40 yards out. Scored 270 goals for Manchester United from midfield. Unbelievable. So I think that trio, if they were playing today, would take some beating.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Just on, and I don't know if a comparison between any players in the selection like this is fair, but if you're going between a Roy Keane and a Brian Robson, and Keane very much took over from Robson as the engine in that midfield, were they similar players, Keane and Robson?
No, not really. No, Robson. Robson was the best winner of the ball I ever came across, Nathan. Could only see the ball and do it. But he scored an awful lot of goals from midfield. Mm. You know, he was a goal scorer as well, and a great winner of the ball. Keane was a great winner of the ball, one of his great attributes was driving himself on and driving people on. So that the great players can be are different in different ways, and their attributes are different. And those two were different, but they were both great players. But Brian scored quite a lot of goals from the middle of the field.
Scholes, you touched on maybe his issues with England, and he made many, many international appearances, I think 66, 67 of them in the end for England. But it was in that period, as you say, with Gerrard and Lampard, where they never seemed to know what their best team was, despite them being called the Golden Generation. There was always a sense as well that maybe Scholes' skill set wasn't appreciated properly within the English game.
But they never played him in the right position, Nathan. You know, like in my opinion anyway, they always had Gerrard and Lampard as midfield players, and they used to fit their skulls in on the left side or the right side. That wasn't his game. Like, in my opinion, Lampard and and Gerrard weren't genuine midfield players. What they used to say about Gerrard, they were great goal scorers from midfield, but what they used to say about them at the time, they were great at getting at the end of things, which is true. But you need to get an end, you need a beginning. Mm. And neither of them could make a beginning. Scholes used to link up from Manchester United from the back to the front. Lampard and Gerrard couldn't do that. So they used to put Scholes on either the right side of them or the left side of them. I think in those days they would have had to leave one of them out and put Scholes in where he played week in and out for Manchester United, which controlled the midfield. Gerrard couldn't control the midfield and Lampard couldn't control the midfield. So they were good in getting at the end of things, but you have to have a beginning to get to the end of it. And they couldn't get a beginning, either of them. And Scholes was, I think, I felt sorry for Scholes because he was sort of fitted in on the left-hand side or the right-hand side instead of being in the middle of the field where he was at his best.
What a midfield that was for that United team under Alex Ferguson of Scholes and Keane, like two technically unbelievably gifted players, and also the way that they were both able to just drive their side forward, two players who you wanted to get on the ball and probably who wanted to get on it all the time.
Well, they complemented each other in terms of, Scholes didn't win the ball as well as Keane. Keane won the ball and Keane then didn't use the ball as well. Scholes, so it was the ideal combination. Mm. And of course, I know I didn't mention, didn't pick him, but Beckham was brilliant on the right side, and Giggs brilliant on the left side. It was a terrific side. But between the two of them in the middle of the field, they actually complemented each other brilliantly, Nathan, and made them such a great team.
Yeah, he almost maybe just wasn't flashy enough. You'd imagine Scholes had all the tricks within him whenever he wanted to pull them out, but he played probably as simple a game as he needed to play.
Well, he made it look simple. Mm. You know, all great players make it look simple. So it goes back to positional sense. He got into great positional, the positional sense that he had got him into great positions where it looked like he'd say, well, how did he get so much room? See, time and space is everything on the football field, and he could create that. So he didn't have to be tricky. You know, when you see people in the middle of the field having to be tricky all the time, it means when they receive the ball, they're not in a very good position. So he didn't get into trouble to get out of trouble. He made it look simple. Did the job and scored his fair amount of goals.
Yeah, scored over 150 goals for United from.
Yeah, but that's unbelievable from the middle of the field, you know, which is great. And Keane could do it. Keane could, like they say now, the holding midfield player. Keane was a holding midfield player and an attacking player all in one. Mm. With his energy and his go and could win the ball much better than Scholes. Win it, give it to Scholes. That's where you get the combination. And they were a winning combination in a big way.
So you just play Keane and Scholes in the middle of midfield and let Bobby Charlton do whatever the hell he wants?
More or less. And I don't mean that in a bad way with Bobby. Bobby would still be scoring his goals with these guys. In fact, you know, Bobby could get on the ball and not have to use them so much. He'd just do it on his own. That's what I felt with Bobby anyway, playing with him. He didn't need me. And I was told at Old Trafford, you know, when you're in the team, when something is on... with one of your teammates, let it go simple and quick. But there's a lot of times I was played with Bobby, I'd be in a good position, but I didn't get it simple and quick. But just when I'd be out to say, for heaven's sake, well, more than heaven's sake, Bobby, he's gone past three or four players, Nathan. Hmm. And he's threatening the goal with either foot from 40 yards out. So you couldn't say anything to him. He didn't need me. You know, I think Keane and Scholes needed each other. When I played with Billy Bremner at Leeds, we needed each other. Yeah. He grew up around the other part. Bobby didn't need anybody.
Yeah.
Just did it on his own.
You wouldn't really
best player I played with, best player I played against. Not the most enjoyable player to play with, I must say. And certainly not the most enjoyable player to play against. You know, but he was just brilliant.
Yeah, you wouldn't really get away with going into Matt Busby saying he's not passing the ball to me, boss.
No.
You'd be told where to go.
No. He'd say, go away. let Bobby do what he wants to do.
Yeah, you just keep giving him the ball.
And he did. Let him score his goals. I was great.
Let's get on to the front three then again. The list, you touched on some of them there. Rooney, Van Nistelrooy, Hughes, Cole, Cantona, Best, Law, Ronaldo. Like, it's some choice. So which three did you go for?
I went for Ronaldo, Dennis Law, and Georgie Best.
So no Wayne Rooney, their all-time leading scorer.
I know. I thought a lot of Rooney. The only thing I thought of Rooney, I thought he was marching to greatness, Nathan, when he got a knee injury. Do you remember he got a bad knee injury? He was out for a while. Anyway, that one stage in his career. Yeah. And I don't think he really marched on from there. He was very, very good. Very, very good. But I don't think he really marched on from there to become one of the greats.
There's a longevity, I suppose, to, well, both Giggs and Wayne Rooney into what they did with Manchester United. Ronaldo was there for, what, 6 seasons, I think it was? And by the end, he was just scoring an insane amount of goals. He was getting towards the level he got to at Real Madrid. Is it all in what Ronaldo did in a United jersey, or is part of it influenced by the way he went on and the rest of his career flourished?
No, I'd say he did more than his share at United. Now, I was often critical of him when he was at Manchester United, because I always believed, Nathan, that when you anybody lost the ball, get it back, and that. And he didn't do that. And I thought, no, this fella's not the real McCoy. But what I didn't realise about him is the only player that I ever saw or knew that could be out of the game for 15 minutes and didn't let it bother him. Do you know what I mean, Nathan?
Had the patience to wait for his chance.
Yeah. In other words, what he was going to do was score goals. And he did. But when I'd watch him and I'd say, look, he's not getting back. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. But he'd finish up scoring 2 goals. And we know what his goal scoring record is now. But when I first saw him, I thought, no, he's too lazy. He's not in the game enough. He's not doing this. He's not doing it. But all he was interested in, and is still interested in my opinion, is scoring goals, which is the most important thing in a team.
Yeah.
So he was doing the most important things, but my attitude was, he's not getting back, he's not doing this and he's not doing that. But obviously I've seen him now, he's been playing for a long time, and I can see why he doesn't do what I thought he should be doing, which is to wait and take his time and be patient and just score goals.
It's hard to be in any ways critical of him, and I know he was a totally different player, Wayne Rooney, and that he helped create so much more as well. But I think Rooney, in all his time at United, there were only 2 seasons where he scored over 20 Premier League goals. Was he a little bit too unselfish almost?
Well, he played deeper. You know, Ronaldo stayed on the wing one side or the other most of the time. He'd get in the penalty box all the time. And he's great. He had a great nose, as I say, for goals. Absolutely genius when it came to that. Rooney was a better all-round player in many ways. He could come deep, or he could get on the ball. He could make goals. He could score goals. You know, in my opinion, over the years, when you see Ronaldo, he very seldom makes a goal, Nathan. He's usually scoring them, and he scores loads of them, which makes him one of the great players, in my opinion, that I feel now. I didn't at the time. But in Rooney's case, I thought Rooney got a little bit complacent when he got to a certain age, having done what he did. He was always very good. I don't think he marched on to be great.
Yeah. Just before we...
And that's been hard on him. That's been harsh on him, you know. But that's what I felt about him. There was more in him, I think, at a certain age, when he was 27, 28. I thought he really was marching on to greatness. And I didn't quite see that. But he was a terrific player. And a terrific player for Manchester United.
We are very tight in time, so I just want a very quick word on your other two selections. Dennis Law, who I think we spoke about recently. And funny enough, we had a text in earlier wondering if you rated George Best. Clearly you did.
Oh, Best was a genius. Best was a genius. I think he's the most gifted lad I've ever seen, Nathan. And that includes Messi in that.
Wow.
And Tom Gift. George Best was the only player I could see be running down, dribbling with the ball, and cut inside with his right foot, and then go out and cut back inside with his left foot. He used to turn, that's how he used to turn the defenders inside out. I know Best was a genius. And he was probably the most gifted player I've ever seen. I mean, unfortunately, he lost his way, George. He had no protection. I feel sorry for him in that way. But an absolute genius playing. Oh, no, I had an awful lot of time for Georgie Best. I just wish he could have maintained it longer than he did. But at his best, at his peak, He was unbelievable.
Was he the type of player that when you were going up against him, and particularly say when you were with Leeds and he was at Manchester United and both teams were sort of at their peak, that you thought, if he's on it today, there's literally nothing we can do to stop him?
Yeah, but funny enough, Nathan, he very seldom played well against Leeds. We had a lad called Paul Reaney playing at right back, who was very quick, very aggressive, and most of the time he kept Georgie down. That was just us. But we were a top team as well. But Georgie, in my time playing against me, didn't turn it on an awful lot against Leeds. But that was just as it was. But he turned it on against everybody else.
Yeah.
And he did. He played well against us at times, but not in the magical way that he could.
All right, John, we're out of time. Your all-time Manchester...
Dennis Law?
Go on. Yeah, mention Dennis Law.
A quick one. The most dynamic player I ever played against, with or against. Absolutely, one of the greats, and he'd be sensational today, Nathan.
All right, so Dennis Law is in that team with Schmeichel, back four of Irwin, Vidic, Stam and Dunn in midfield. It's Keane, Charlton and Scholes, and a front three of Ronaldo, Law and Best. And not as bad substitutes bench behind them either at Manchester United. John, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Yeah. Thanks, Nathan.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.